You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
This edition of It's My Money is brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, your partner for global wealth creation. Welcome to It's My Money. It's My Money is brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, South Africa's multi-award-winning boutique wealth manager. With me now, the founder of Brenthurst Wealth, and that's Magnus Haystack. Magnus, you kindly sent me a piece which was quite thought-provoking, actually, because it goes back to 2025, which we've already spoken about. What a great year it was for the JSE. But then we look at the month of war, the month that has just past, and it's the complete antithesis of last year, and it really puts things into context, I think.
Indeed it does, Lindsay. The drivers of the market last year upwards was exactly the same drivers that pulled it down the last month. Just to put into context, from early March, April last year, 2025, the gold price, gold shares started rocketing. And it launched as it was going to the moon. I mean, the gold index went up like 200%. The gold price went up 50, 60%. So our market was dragged up by the performance of our big three gold mines. In fact, our only three gold mines. And together with that, Prosus Naspers also had a very, very strong rally, especially Naspers, which is our biggest single company. So the end result was that the JSE on an index level looked extremely positive, both in rand terms up 40% and in dollar terms up 61%. So Mr. Haystack at Brenthurst was eating humble pie. And
yes, people took to social media to have a go at you, Magnus, but you're used to that, aren't you?
Well, there were guys having a go at me saying I've got it wrong and am I bringing my money back? And I actually spoke at the business conference about a month ago on this issue. And I actually said, I referred to this one particular tweet where some guy had a go at me. And I said, I'm not bringing back 1 cent. And I explained why not. I said, the upward movement was so concentrated into five shares. And if anything goes wrong with those five shares, we're going to see a massive pullback. And that's exactly what happened. You know, March, because the gold price collapsed, gold shares collapsed, Naspers had been having a torrid run for some reason.
Yeah.
Boom, our market is suddenly the second last worst performing market in the world. And the headline in the Business Day this morning says 3 trillion rand lost in a month. Okay, that's what newspapers do. They focus on the bad news. So I was always a little bit worried about the drivers behind that uplift. The broad-based market wasn't doing much.
So what you're saying is a very narrow, before you go into that, it was a very narrow rally. Five stocks really drove most of that, whatever the rise was, you said 61%. Was it 61% or 41%? Sorry, the numbers. Oh, there you go. In rand terms, the JSE was up 41%.
Yeah.
Most of that, or a good percentage of that anyway, was five stocks. And that's very dangerous, almost like the potential vulnerability of the US market because of the focus on the Magnificent Seven. Similar sort of situation.
Much more amplified in the sense that there were five shares and they made up about 25 to 30% of the JSE at their peak, which was very, very narrow and very focused. So, and as it so happened, exactly those five shares started tumbling a month or two ago. And that dragged the market down just as quickly. So you would have suffered from severe bad whiplash if you looked at the one-year number of the JSE end of January, and said, wow, time to get in. Well, you're down 15% in rand terms and 20% in dollar terms. So that was an extreme bout of volatility. And it looks like it's going to continue because today gold shares were absolutely slaughtered again, Naspers down again. Mm. So those guys who follow the index will perhaps understand why they need some active management. It does reduce the volatility. So I there's a heck of a long, big push. And I've always said I like index investing across the world, but the South African market is different. And we see it again, the volatility and that's when you operate in the real world. It's money that goes up and money goes down, and what are you going to do as an investor? That's why I kind of like the value style active management in the South African context. The returns have been far more stable. and been excellent. But wow, it's been a sharp drop for the last month.
It really has, you know. It's quite ironic that we're pre-recording this podcast on the year anniversary of Mr. Trump standing up there with a wooden board on his, well, he called it Liberation Day. It was the day that tariffs were mooted by him, and the market over the next 2 to 3 days came down very, very sharply. And then we started the rally that you spoke about on the JSE, which led to an extraordinary performance for the whole year. I spoke to a money manager yesterday, and he didn't want to speak at first because of what's happening to the rand and to the capital market in South Africa. And I said, you've got a duty to do so, because I gave you the chance when in November, December, when everything was set fair for the fixed income market. You know, everything was, the rand was so strong, it was going to 13, 1350 in many people's eyes, and so on and so on. And yesterday, he wasn't eating humble pie, but he recognized that when you look back at the history of South Africa, the rand and the interest rates, etc., when everything looks good, be very careful. And it's exactly what's happened, I think, Magnus.
It has, you know, and the point you make is absolutely correct. You know, that person does owe it to speak the truth, or at least give a balanced view to the market, not only a one-sided view all the time, which happens quite a lot. And in the context, you know, it's notable that most South Africans today have, well, people who have got disposable income, high net worth individuals, have a very large percentage of their cash offshore and in South Africa. So the currency becomes a very big factor in the lives of people. So, you know, what you win on the one side, you lose on the other side. But my golly, it's been volatile. It's been volatile.
What do we do now? Because this month of war is going to be 2-3 months of war in whatever form. We don't know yet. It's all up to Mr. Trump and also to the foe, the Iranians. But I do think it's here for a while, and I do think the rand is still vulnerable. That's my opinion, not Brent's opinion. What do you think?
You know, I spoke to a client this morning, and, you know, you one can give general advice, and it's normally good advice, don't panic, etc., but it's a different situation when you're looking into someone's eyes and you're saying, you know, your pension fund is down 15 or 20%. What do you do? You know, then all that good advice of staying in there for the long term just disappears. And you actually have to make a call and say, sir, for you, I'm taking you out of the market. I'm putting you into lovely old cash until there is some kind of stability into the market. So, you know, that's not what the fund managers want to hear. But, you know, when it comes down to real life individual cases, that sometimes is just the best option. Just put it into cash, especially with pension money, living annuities where there's no capital gains tax, there's no fees, etc. You just put in cash and wait, protect the downside, and we'll come back to fight the war another time. And that's what I'm doing with my big clients, especially with the non-discretionary capital. Put it in cash. What can you lose? You know, if you're wrong, you go back into the market. But if the market continues when dropping, you've assisted that client, because clients are always bullish when the markets go up, but the minute it turns, they become very negative and nervous, and they question their investment strategy. And then you have to do what you have to do.
Magnus, we have to talk a little bit about Bitcoin, because Bitcoin was above 125,000 not that long ago. It was October, I think, mid-October. It has been down to close to 60,000. I'm publicly quite anti the cryptocurrency scene until it's properly regulated and until people properly understand it. Are you of the same view?
I am indeed, Lindsay, and I'll tell you why. It's quite funny. I joined some Bitcoin biz news grouping where people comment on Bitcoin all the time, and my golly, I expressed that kind of opinion that you just expressed.
Yes.
And was I slaughtered for being out of touch and stupid and old or whatever? and I said to the guys, you sound like, all I did was I tweeted, I said, guys, do you realize that Bitcoin price, I think it was at $65,000, was the same price as it was 5 years ago? I just made that point that was kind of lost in this discussion of I said, you've made no money in 5 years in Bitcoin. Do I see that? Do I hear that? And then the guy said, no, don't talk about that. But just, I agree with you, Lindsay. These guys are like evangelists. That if you don't believe the goddess of Bitcoin, you are cast into the hellfire of eternity. And you are, it's just incredible how they can slaughter you and turn and twist the arguments. And I said, guys, Bitcoin is down 50% in 1 year. You've made no money in 5 years. And you want to tell me this is going to replace fiat money, the so-called fiat money, and going to replace the dollars. I said, you are smoking your socks.
It's
real.
Yeah, it's not like the tulip mania of centuries ago. It's not like the South Sea bubble. It's not like that. It's not quite as bad as that. But I do believe the downside is more likely than the upside. The line of least resistance is to the downside, is what I'm trying to say.
On that particular WhatsApp grouping, it's called the BizNews Bitcoin grouping.
Oh yeah,
they are worse than the tulip mania of 1650 or whatever. There are guys there proudly proclaiming, now for years I have sold everything and everything in Bitcoin. That is the new, and it's as if this is echo chamber. They're trying to convince everyone else and themselves that this can only go up and it's going to replace the dollar. And I just said, guys, I've heard this story so often that it's the end of the dollar. And what has happened now? Everybody's rushed back to the dollar. So these guys, it may or may not have a place in the financial future of the world. Am I qualified to, you know, confidently put my clients' money in there? No, I can't. And I'll tell you why. If I put a client into Bitcoin and it drops by 50%.
Yeah.
And the client goes and lodges a complaint at the FSCA or some judge who has to judge my quality of advice. He only has to ask me one question. And the question is, Mr. Magnus, do you fully understand Bitcoin?
Precisely.
And the answer to it is, I don't. And all he will say is, pay the man. So that's my standard reply. I say, I cannot recommend it because I do not honestly understand it 100%.
The icing on the cake for me, and this is me being bigoted, and again, this is not your Brenter's view, is when I saw the two sweaty faces of the Trump boys at a Bitcoin conference or a crypto conference in Dubai, I think it was. It doesn't matter. I saw them there also being evangelical when it came to cryptocurrencies, and I thought, yeah, well, I knew I didn't like it anyway. Now I really don't like it. Moving on from that, please, Magnus, just the final point I want to, or the final question to you is, are you fearful of the South African economy? Because we're going into this crisis, or South Africa's going into this crisis, on a slightly firmer footing than it would have been going into the same thing 4 or 5 years ago. The rand was relatively strong. The interest rates were going down. The public finances were slightly better. We'd been upgraded. We're off the grey list. So we're slightly cushioned. But how long before that cushion gets pulled from beneath South Africa and the economy goes into crisis mode again?
Yeah, you know, the increase in the oil price, which historically always hits us very badly, and the longer the Trump carries on with this crazy war, you know, the worse it's going to get. We're extremely vulnerable to higher oil price, higher diesel, and it will just filter through into the economy that's already weak. Consumer expenditure will become become under much more pressure. Government finances, they've graciously cut the fuel levy by 3 rand, but they need to get that money from somewhere else, and they will get it. They need to get it because our debt levels are at 78% of GDP. And in the budget earlier this year, they confidently said, well, now we're going to get the debt levels under control. Well, that's been blown out of the water. So that's where our problem lies, is the debt levels have just continued to increase and increase. And at some point, I don't know where that point is, the debt levels become a major factor. And then that's where you'll get the collapse in the currency. I don't know if it's close. I don't think it's close, but it's slowly but surely moving in the wrong direction. So this has hit our economy at a very, very bad time. And I just don't see the ANC government under the current thinking of Ramaphosa making any difference to the trajectory of our economy at the present.
Just to summarize, you say in the piece that you sent me, final sentence is this. Over 10 years, offshore markets have returned double the JSE, and we still recommend offshore investing as our primary investing strategy. Magnus, thank you very much for your time. Magnus Haystack is from Brenthurst Wealth, founder of that organization. And that was It's My Money. It's My Money was brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, an award-winning boutique wealth management company.